Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And we have open lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, perhaps something about the book of the Revelation, or if you have a nagging, lingering personal issue you'd like to discuss, we have opened the phone lines for you right now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. And we enter the final week of our look at the book of Revelation. It's day 20 in our study, and now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're really getting down to, I think, the exciting parts of the book of Revelation. All of this is going to come to a grand conclusion. 19 and 20 give kind of the final story of God's judgment upon mankind. 21 and 22 are the restoration of all things, the new heavens, the new earth, the dwelling place of God, the dwelling place of man. Kind of Genesis 1 and 2 kind of restored even to a better quality than first created many, yes, many years ago. So we're really marching to, you know, this grand climax. And I think in our hearts, as we get there, you know, we'll see this ever increasing desire to say, Lord Jesus, come. Because I think that's the deal that we face most often. We're afraid of the end. We're afraid of what's to come. Why? Because we're not sure we're prepared. We're not sure our hearts can cry out in praise as we see throughout the book of Revelation. But if we really grab hold of the message that Christ is the victor, he has conquered sin and death, he has conquered the enemies of God, that he has secured a people for himself who have responded to that great gospel message, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, whom he has sealed with his mark and has given the Holy Spirit, then we can face this future with confidence, and we can truly say, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. But in chapter 19, we see this victory being expressed in heaven. Songs are sung, and all in praise of God, who has brought salvation and glory and power and has saved those who are his. And it's just an amazing scene that we see here. It just really gives us that sense of victory that we truly have in Christ, not only in the future, but here and now. The fact that Jesus Christ reigns and the fact that we see that in this heavenly scene gives us victory right now in our day-to-day lives. He can reign today in us. And I think that's the story John is trying to communicate here. And I love how he ends this particular chapter. He says, then I fell down at his feet to worship him. And this is an angel. And it said, do not worship me. I'm a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. That is an amazing passage. Yeah. And then we see this witness of Jesus as he sits upon this horse, this white horse, as a rider. And it's just an amazing scene in heaven of this victory that we have in Christ.
And that is Basic Gospel, everybody. And this is Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis. Plenty of open lines for you to come in and be a part of this edition at 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Martin, listening to us in Pitt Meadows, British Columbia. Hi, Martin.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. I really enjoy your guys' show.
Well, thank you. How can we help you today?
Well, my little question is, I'm doing my own study on Revelation right now, and I believe the Bible is pretty clear in telling us that Mystery Babylon is Jerusalem on four parts or four points. The first point I have is Ezekiel 16 reads just like Revelation 18. And then my second point is I believe the woman left in the desert in Revelation 12 is Israel, and then she's found the woman in the desert in Revelation 17 also. And my third point is Mystery Babylon is described as the great city, not a great city. And they call Jerusalem the great city in, I think it's Revelation 11:8. And then my biggest point is I keep saying that Mystery Babylon is found, all found in her is the blood of all the prophets and the saints and all who have been killed on the earth. And Jesus tells us who that is in Matthew 23, verse 35 and 36. So I believe Jesus was telling us who Mystery Babylon will be.
Well, Martin, you could be right. There's certainly a lot of different interpretations. You know, I've read some that say that it's the apostate church, that's what Mystery Babylon is. Others look at it as Rome. Others look at it as symbolic of the evil, the rebellious world system that is in place. It's figurative of that. And within that is the blood of the prophets. So there's lots of points of discussion on that, aren't there, Richard?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are. And there are so many valid points to be made in various arguments. It's one of the reasons mm-hmm. why I personally don't try to come down very hard on any one of the arguments, neither strongly for or strongly against, because if I've learned anything about prophecy, that until it actually happens, we're all subject to error. And then when it happens, we all have 20/20 hindsight. And mm-hmm. and the cool part about this is that, you know, your argument does make some sense. I'm not mm-hmm. degrading your argument at all. The cool part about this is that we know that based on what has been revealed, if we keep this stuff in our hearts and let the Holy Spirit prompt us at the proper times, all it does is build our assurance and build our faith and build our joy. When we've got it wrong and we're doing it in our own strength, almost every time I've seen that happen, I see people getting fearful and they lose their assurance and you know, then the wheels come off the trolley. You know, whenever someone has a reasonable argument for some of this stuff, I like to listen to it. I like to learn from it and see how much more it points me to Jesus than I was pointed before.
Well, just when you're saying about not until it happens, that's why I kind of believe it's in 70 AD is when it did happen.
Okay.
Because in Matthew 23, that's what Jesus is telling them is going to happen right before Matthew 24. So that's why in Matthew 23:35, I believe Jesus says, because only Jerusalem was responsible for the blood of the prophets and the saints.
Up
and then
that's
what it says
yes.
at the end of Revelation 18.
Yeah, up to that time, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Well, Martin, good points. Appreciate your hard study on the book of Revelation.
Well, I'm doing
and just let it keep pointing you to Jesus Christ, because that's the real story. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, we appreciate your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of Richard's booklet, Your Guaranteed Future, Our Guaranteed Future. Hang on, Martin.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
you're
Martin.
Welcome.
1-800-677-9377. Open lines right now. And friends, if you'd like to get a copy of Our Guaranteed Future, you can do so for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. All you need to do is go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. A gift of any amount gets you the booklet. If you'd like to make a generous donation of $50 or more, well, you can do that as well. And that you will also receive Richard's series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, in addition to the booklet. So that's a double offer, and we appreciate the fact that so many of you have taken part in it so far. So anyway, go online to basicgospel.net, prominent links right on the homepage, or call during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Maria in Staten Island, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing fine. How are you today? Nice to hear from you.
Very, very well. I listen to you every day when I get out of work, and I really, truly enjoy listening to you. The question that I have is, you keep referring to the new covenant, and I'm a little confused. I don't know what that means.
Well, excellent question then, because it is a very important issue and truth that's revealed to us in the Word of God. We see information about the new covenant in the Old Testament. So when you look at your Bible, you have two parts, right? You have an Old Testament, you have a New Testament.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, there are a number of covenants that God makes with his people, but the most prevalent one is the one that he made with the people of at Israel at Mount Sinai after they had escaped Egypt. That's referred to as the Old Covenant. And the centerpiece of that Old Covenant was the Ten Commandments, those letters carved on stone.
Yes.
Well, that covenant had a purpose, but there were some things about that covenant that we need to understand. First, it was between two parties. It was between God and the people of Israel. There were terms and conditions that both were required to keep. And it was an if-then sort of arrangement. So God said to the people, if you obey all of my commandments and statutes, then you will be my people and I will be your God.
Yes.
Well, they did not live up to that covenant. They broke the covenant, you know, almost 3 weeks after the covenant had been made. But it still stayed in place until Jesus Christ came. And before he died, he gathered his disciples, and he had a Passover meal with them. And at that Passover, he raised a cup, and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant made in my blood. So we see that there was going to be a transition from the old to the new, and that transition was to take place at the cross. So Jesus' death ushered in a new covenant. Well, this new covenant is different from that old covenant. The new covenant is totally dependent upon Jesus to carry out. We have no terms or conditions. We're just beneficiaries. This covenant, this new covenant, is much like a will. So if you have a will, in that you have stated what is going to happen with your assets upon your death. And maybe you've named your children as recipients. Now, they're just going to get that stuff whether they've done anything good or not, because that's your decision. You're making the decision. It's totally your choice. They don't really enter into that picture. Well, the same is true of the new covenant. Well, and this new covenant is spelled out for us in the book of Hebrews. It's based on four promises. That we will be given the Holy Spirit, the laws of love and faith, hope, and love will be written on our hearts internally. We will truly be the people of God. He will just name us that through faith in Jesus Christ. We will know the Lord. We'll have a personal relationship with him, and our sins will be totally forgiven. They're totally forgiven in this new covenant. And all of that is because of the work of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. So if you're a believer, Maria, in Jesus, you don't live in the old covenant, you live in the new covenant.
Yes.
You're a new you're a new covenant believer. And it has better promises. Jesus is the guarantee of it. I mean, if I came to you, Maria, and said, here's what you need to do to get to heaven, and I listed out 10 things, would that be good news to you or bad news to you?
That would be great news.
Well, what if I told you every thought that you ever had to be godly? If you ever had one evil thought, that would keep you out of heaven. Now, would that be good news?
No.
Why? Because you know what goes through your head, don't you?
Yes, we're mortal people.
Yeah. So God, knowing that, brought in something that wasn't dependent upon you making yourself right before God. It was dependent upon one who did the work for you. You can't keep those evil thoughts out of your head. So Jesus stood in your place and took the punishment you deserved and then ushered you into a new covenant. That's what good news is.
I understand.
Does that make sense?
Yes. I have another question, if I might.
Okay.
I recently joined a church, and I very much like it, and they praise, and they learning the Bible more and more. I'm very pleased, but I told them I wanted to join, and they told me that I have to give my testimony. So I don't really have a drug addict past or drinking past or, you know, it's just a person that came to the Lord and lives a different life now. Why is it that some churches require a testimony, quote-unquote, to join?
Well, they just want to hear from your heart. I'm assuming this. I think they just want to hear from your heart what has taken place and find out if you're really trusting Jesus and Jesus alone. Now, you don't
what
have to have a...
What happened my transition into my new life?
That's exactly right. So you don't need to have a drug addict past or, you know, a tattooed past or anything like that. The real deal, Maria, is you were dead in sin and now you're alive in Jesus. So the same power of God that saved the drug addict was necessary to save you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you have,
thank you so much.
You're welcome, Maria. Let me put you on hold. We have a great little booklet called Your Story, and it gives you some tools to help you really identify what happened when you came to Christ. Let me put that in your hands, okay? Hey, thanks, Maria. Thanks for your call.
I was going to ask Maria if she could repeat all that back, but you got off the phone too quick with her. So.
Well, let's go to Hans in New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Hans.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I wonder if you could, you know, help me. It's something that puzzles me and distresses me to see, I don't know what to call it, you know, when homosexual marriage is legalized, the quietness and the silence in the church is in some way kind of consentment. And, I mean, when is a time, you know, that we see the example mentioned like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, including Daniel, when we have a living example there, this is a time before the enemy, you know, establishes and then comes and forces themselves to get married in the church. We see in Paris, I mean, completely ungodly nation protesting. In England, they have the law, but it is not applicable in the church. And yet, I'm puzzled with what I see here. And at least why there isn't a call for prayer and, you know, fasting and a repentance. That just is something that really disturbs me.
Well, Hans, I've asked various questions about moral issues that our country is facing. You know, why isn't there a greater voice in the church? And then as I look through, you know, what is happening in various parts, you see those voices being lifted up. It's not like the church is standing silent. Maybe the media isn't covering those voices like it's covering, you know, the other side of the coin. So we just have to realize that, I think. But Hans, I believe God is calling people forth, and they are lifting their voices to stand for truth. But, you know, within the body of Christ, this isn't just a one-issue world that we live in. So you're never going to see the church, for example, just they're all going to be united in belief, but they're all not going to be actively doing something in that particular arena of life because there's other arenas of life. You know, God is calling people to evangelize. God is calling people to disciple new believers. God is calling people to plant new churches. God is calling people to go out in mission work, to reach folks who have never heard of Christ. And so you have to look and you see God working through multi-channels of activities. And he's doing all sorts of things. So you can count on him leading people to address those issues that are facing our nation and facing the global population as well. So Hans, maybe you're not hearing about it, but I believe those voices are being lifted up today.
I don't doubt that there are, you know, few individuals doing it, but such a big issue like this, the next thing we will hear is Pastor so-and-so is in prison because he refused to marry homosexuals, or the church is...
And some of that will occur, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Why we don't use our freedom, where there is that freedom legally for anyone to protest? This is the time to do it.
Well, Hans, you've issued your protest on national airwaves, so God's doing something there. You can count on the fact that others are using their freedom to make a stand as well. Well, Hans, good point today. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Well, let's go to Jeff in Utica, New York. Hi, Jeff.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you as well.
God bless you. I just want to ask you a couple of questions. First one I want to ask is, what did the new covenant say, have to say about tithing?
Well, under the new covenant, we're called to excel in the grace of giving. Tithing was an old covenant principle. The people brought tithes to the storehouse, and those tithes were basically food supplies that were to be used in religious ceremony and sacrifice, and also to feed the Levites, to feed the priest. That's how they were cared for. That's how they were provided for. And it was basically a taxation. I mean, they were obligated to do so. It wasn't free will giving, so to speak. Well, when the covenant changed, the laws changed. And under the new covenant, we're called to excel in the grace of giving. And that grace of giving is God working in our hearts, motivating to give of our resources to advance the kingdom of God here and now. So if somebody gives to support the work of the gospel, it's because God has moved in their hearts to do so. And that is richly rewarding both to the giver and to the recipient. And it's a wonderful thing. So our mandate for giving is really laid out for us in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Let me do this, Jeff. We're running out of time. We have a resource on that, New Covenant Giving, and I would like to put that in your hands, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for your call. Great question today. You hold on, Jeff.
And remember, friends, we have a lot of resources that are available from the online store at Basic Gospel. Just go to store.basicgospel.net, and you'll find the online store, and all the resources are available to you. And we want to say thank you for joining us for Basic Gospel today. If you like what you've heard, we ask you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And to thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with a gift of any amount, we'll be happy to send you a copy of our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But if you can offer a donation of $50 or more, why, we'll send you the booklet and the 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. So your gifts keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time can afford you new understanding of the book of Revelation. Again, the booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount or for a donation of $50 or more, you'll receive the booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery. To make your donation, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're there, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list for news and information about the ministry and resources that are available to you. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.